UK Wine Show, show number 22 for the 27th of October. Sopexa, the Frenchman's generic. G'day. Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 22 for the 27th of October. This week we're going to be talking to Chris Skirm from Sopexa. We're going to be talking to them about how France has been responding to the onslaught from the New World, initially from Australia, but also now from Chile. Thanks to all those people who applied for tickets to the wine show. We've given away all our tickets, so hope you enjoy the show and do look me up when you're there. I'm going to be doing a Spanish wine tasting and I'm also going to be doing some wine walks. But before we have our interview with Chris Skirm, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. Gordon Ramsay has become the face of Threshers, the wine chain. The Michelin-starred celebrity will appear on posters in shop windows alongside the strapline, Wines You Can Swear By. Customers will also be able to pick up free recipe cards with Ramsay's wine recommendations. The dishes are taken from his Sunday lunch cookery book. The idea is that Thresher want to be seen as highly knowledgeable about wine, yet unpretentious, just as Gordon is about food. The tie-in follows the company's sponsorship of Hell's Kitchen USA, in which Ramsay regularly reduces trainee chefs to tears. Meanwhile, the New Zealand wine company has become the first in the world to produce totally carbon-neutral wines. The makers of Grove Mill and Sanctuary in Marlborough wanted to minimise the environmental impact of carbon dioxide emissions from all aspects of their business. For example, their air travel alone created 65 tonnes. To do this, the company first took steps to reduce emissions wherever possible. Some, however, were unavoidable, so the company compensated for those by planting native forests. Trees absorb carbon dioxide, so they help to offset the damage from emissions, the cause of global warming. Chief Executive Rob White said the company is extremely proud to have achieved such a significant environmental milestone. And staying in the Southern Hemisphere, Stellenbosch University in South Africa has applied to the South African government to grow genetically modified grapes. The hope is that GM grapevines will produce grapes that are resistant to fungus. The first vintage wouldn't be produced for around 5 years, and even then it wouldn't be released commercially. Another South African, now living in Canada, has also put in an application requesting to sell GM yeast in his native country to use in winemaking. The South African Wine Council said in a statement that it clearly objected to the commercial use of GM yeasts and expects the application to be turned down. It is currently illegal to produce GM wine in South Africa, and the Wine and Spirit Board there says it has no plans to change this. That's it for the news, Chris. Back over to you.
Thanks for that, Jane. A couple of things. Pritzker Prize and Threshers using a celebrity chef promote how serious they are about wine. But, you know, he's quite popular and he is highly opinionated. The other thing in the news was Carbon Zero Men of Trees. Love that name, Men of Trees. I did like the fact that the Men of Trees were planting trees in areas that had been deforested, so they're effectively reforesting areas. Next, we've got the interview with Chris from Sopexa. Let's have a listen to that. Hi, I'm here with Chris Skirm from Sopexa. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. Do you want to tell us in a couple of words what Sopexa is?
Okay. Sopexa is a dedicated PR and marketing agency for French produce, and by that I mean French wine and French food.
So how did Sopexa come into existence? It's been going for a while now, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're about 45 years old. It was originally set up by the French government to evangelise French produce, both food and wine. And other produce as well, lavender, anything really from the agricultural business,
sure.
Business side. It was fully funded by the French government at that stage, and all of our clients got our services for free. About 15 years ago, that changed, and our clients started paying a proper fee.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are dedicated marketing and PR agency and an independent.
You're still just a wee bit owned by the government.
Well, yes, we are. You're absolutely right. The government at the moment is just going through, or the French government is going through a process of disposing of its interests in the company due to EU regulations which stipulate that any kind of industry budget over £140,000, which is approximately €200,000, has to go to public tender. And obviously it gets a bit messy if government owns a little bit of something that they're putting out for tender.
Sure, I can see that problem.
And we're quite pleased about it. We will become much more autonomous, and obviously the French government will become a client like any other client.
You've got quite a few clients, haven't you?
We have, yes. They're all French. They're all based in France, and they are generally the generic bodies for wines and foods.
Is there any of the wine bodies you don't represent?
Yeah, there are two big ones, I suppose, that spring to mind. One is Champagne, which is run by the Champagne Bureau here in the UK, and the other is Bordeaux. Although, having said that, we do some work for Medoc.
What do you do for the various French generic bodies?
For the individual French generics, such as Rhône or Ante-Loire, Burgundy, we work on specific campaigns promoting and marketing the wines that come from that region.
Chris, how did you get into the wine trade?
Oh, a very long and convoluted route. I did a degree in French and have always been a big Francophile. In fact, I have a house.
So you're British?
I'm British, yeah, but I kind of...
You have a very good accent.
Thank you. You need to in this job, because obviously all my clients are French, so all of my business is my business French is actually much better than it was when I was at university studying French. I worked in PR, I have worked in PR for a number of years. I really like wine, I like France, I have a house in France, and this is a perfect way of combining, I suppose, my passion with my career.
And you've had some wine trading?
I have, yes. I've got the intermediate WSET certificate. And I'm about to do the advanced in the new year.
It's good, solid stuff.
It is. It's really interesting. Really interesting. And I find it a fascinating subject. Very broad. Lots to learn.
Lots of samples to check out.
Absolutely.
Has France responded really to, like, the Australians came into the market in the sort of 1980s, 1990s. They were one of the first countries to really use a generic body to drive their wines into the market. How has France responded to that over the years?
I think in many ways. I mean, a lot of the ways in which France has responded have been through individual promotions in terms of just trying to increase volume through promotions in store, most of the multiples and supermarkets, etc. But we have done big consumer campaigns such as French Wines Week, which was in October in 2006, where we really sort of hit the media and really sort of encouraged consumers to drink French and think French when they were in the wine aisles or in their local off-license. And in fact, the year before, we did a big campaign called Dinner Party Week, where we really matched drinking French wine with food, the whole convivial, sensible drinking approach, really.
Okay, so that's in the marketing side. How about in the production side of things?
Well, in the production side of things, France has really woken up to the key markets and to the fact that they need to be as flexible as possible. And I suppose things that strike me just off the top of my head would be current issues and debates that are going on in France in terms of making the rules a little bit more flexible, such as allowing varietal names on labels for AOCs, which is currently in debate, and some of them are allowed. Alsace, for example, is traditionally allowed to do that with Gewurz, etc. Screw caps, obviously, very popular here, very popular with certainly some of the multiples, and we're seeing
Tesco's
a lot.
Tesco's is a big fan of
them. Tesco's is a huge fan of them, you're absolutely right, and we're seeing a lot more wines coming through with screw caps. And they're even allowing oak chips, for example. And the whole thing here is not to damage the diversity and quality and the sort of the authenticity of what France and French wines offers, but to allow and afford the producers more flexibility so that they can address the needs of the consumer bases in the key export markets.
I know I had a bottle of Chablis recently, and it was under a screw cap and had Chardonnay written on it.
And that's great. That's great. And that fits in with our key campaign for Burgundy at the moment, which is the home of Chardonnay, home of Pinot Noir.
And it is. There's even a town called Chardonnay, isn't there?
There is.
What sort of wines are hot, you know?
I think probably the hottest category of wine is rosé in the UK. Yeah. I mean, whilst it's fairly small, it's, I think, about 6% of the UK market in terms of sales, it's a really burgeoning market. I think over the last 4 or 5 years, it's increased by over 230% in terms of volume and value sales, led primarily by California and big, big brands, but also France is the second biggest exporter to the UK of rosé wines. And you think particularly of Provence, of Rhône and of the Loire.
And some of the styles, like a lot of the American Blossom Hill and that, are really quite sweet wines. You can get some nice dry styles of rosé coming out of France.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the key things that makes French rosé wines really exciting. We did a press tasting earlier this year of 300 different wines from France. And it was amazing to see the styles. And some of them, as you quite rightly say, really nice and dry, but with great fruit as well. Very refreshing, and particularly with the weather that we're having at the moment, great.
One of the things about French wine I always think about is you get a good range of styles. You know, you go to somewhere like New Zealand, and you know, New Zealand does Savvy really well. We do Pinot Noir, you know, pretty good. But you don't get the same range of climates that create, you know, hot climate wines and cool climate wines. But it can be a bit difficult for some people to get their heads around. You know, you get a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, you sort of know what you're going to expect. Whereas if you get a French Sauvignon Blanc, it can range from quite, you know, tropical, ripe fruit flavours down the Languedoc to quite lean, austere things from Sancerre. Do you have a tip for people that might help them with their consumption?
I suppose in terms of what you're saying about where the wines come from, I suppose the tip is sort of almost know your geography. The further north you go in France, generally speaking, I am generalising, the tendency is for the wines to be drier, fresher, cleaner. The further south you go, the hotter, smoother, fruitier maybe. But I think the other thing that I would recommend people to do is to try, and I know everybody's got really busy lives, but to try and just spend a little bit more time when you're buying your wine. Rather than just sort of pick it up and shove it in your trolley, either go to a dedicated off-licence where you can actually talk to a wine expert and tell them what you're going to be doing. You know, the girls are going to come around, we're going to have a girly night in, we're going to have a Chinese takeaway, and we're going to watch some girly films. What kind of wine should I have? Specialist off-licences will be delighted to really help you and guide you.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know that most people buy their wines at supermarkets. I think about 70% of sales are done at supermarkets. And again, there is information there, but just slow things down maybe. Pick the bottle off the shelf, turn it round, look at the back label. Quite often on the back label, there are some really great notes about the French wine that you're looking at. And these are either written by the producer themselves, who obviously know the wines really well, or the wine buyer from a Tesco or a Sainsbury's or a Waitrose, who really know their wines, who've bought it because they like it, and they'll tell you what it's made of, where it comes from, and more importantly, what you can match it with in terms of food.
Those back labels are really good. 5 years ago, a lot of French wines didn't have back labels. They just had a region and you were supposed to know about it, which was really hard for consumers to get their heads around.
Absolutely, and I think it's something that France has really, really wised up to, the fact that the consumer in the UK and elsewhere outside France needs a bit more information about what they're going to drink. They want to know when to drink it and what to drink it with.
That sounds very good advice, Chris. A couple of months ago, France introduced a new law putting almost like Ghostbuster stickers of pregnant ladies with a big round circle saying, you know, not for pregnant women to consume.
Indeed.
And they've also, they introduced a law a few years ago that really discouraged drink driving.
Yes, indeed. France are very aware of the dangers of binge drinking, of drinking to excess, and have really pulled the stops out and taken the bull by the horns in terms of making it very, very clear that they don't tolerate that. The laws, in fact, in terms of drink driving are much more strict than in the UK in France. And in fact, that's something that is happening over here now. We're finding that with the increase of binge drinking and the reporting of that in the national media, there are organisations like the Drink Aware programme through the Wine Spirit Trade Association and the government, which are really advocating a sensible approach to drinking, which is something that I have to say Sopexa as an agency is extremely supportive of and tries to incorporate into all our communications.
Well, I think that wraps it up today. Thanks very much, Chris.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Chris. France is trying to respond to the onslaught of the new world. They're having problems, though, and I don't think whilst screw caps and labels on the back to tell people how to consume is a good idea, they haven't really taken the lead. But we'll see how it goes. Next week, we're going to be talking to the people behind the Zork. Now, the Zork is a type of closure, wine closure, invented in Australia, in Adelaide. And it's got some of the benefits of a plastic cork and some of the benefits of a screw cap and some of the benefits of a cork. So we'll find out more about the Zork next week. And until then, cheers and good drinking. The UK Wine Show is brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Jane Scott, recorded and edited by Chris Scott. The news is read by Jane Scott. Background news research is by Sandra Clements. The music for the UK Wine Show is Griffiths de Jingle 1 by Marcel de la Giartelli and Silence by Italy North.